It's great to have you here today, and I want to pick up where we left off last time. You know, if you have been with us, that we're focused now on Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we have just established that she was a virgin up until the time that she gave birth to Christ. What we did was to come reading along in Luke chapter 1, verse 27, and to find that twice the author Luke tells us Mary was a virgin. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 27. A virgin, engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. There you heard it. Mary is a virgin, and that means she has never had sexual relations with a man. And I believe, based on what the Bible says, that Mary remained a virgin until Jesus was born, but that after the birth of Christ, she and Joseph consummated the marriage, and Mary went on to have other children. The younger blood half-brothers and blood half-sisters of Jesus. Contrary to the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, the Bible teaches that Mary was not a perpetual virgin. And next week, I want to prove this to you from the Scripture. So get a hold of your Catholic friends and family members this weekend and invite them to join you next week, for God is. If they are free at this time on the radio, invite them to turn their dials to 950 and 590. And if you have a Roman Catholic friend and they say, "I'm busy at those times," then send them the link for God Is as a podcast from the WEZE website. Just open your web browser, punch in 590amtheword.com. That's 590amtheword.com, and click podcast at the top of the page. Then click God Is. Send that along to your family and friends. What does the Bible say about Mary's virginity? Find out here next week on God Is. And should you have any questions about how to do this, or if you want to dialogue about Mary's virginity, just email me or send me a note today. My email address and mailing address will be given later on. All of that is an introduction, and now let's review what I said at the end yesterday and move on from there. It's really important that you understand what I want to say today, so hang in here with me on a Friday as we close out the week together. There is an immediate and important implication to the virginity of Mary, and it's this. Because no man was involved in getting Mary pregnant, this serves as another proof for the pre-existent nature of Jesus Christ. Mark this down. Jesus is pre-existent. Jesus does not appear for the first time in history as a baby born in Bethlehem. No, Jesus has existed before this. Jesus has been forever. Jesus is pre-existent. Last time I gave you Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and John chapter 1 and verse 3 as proofs of Jesus' involvement in the creation of all things. I'm not going to repeat that today, except to say that it's clear from the biblical testimony that Jesus, as part of the triune God, existed before Genesis 1:1. Jesus has always existed. He now exists, and he will always exist. And one day soon, all people will see him and either be welcomed into our eternal home in heaven by him, that's for Christians, his followers, or be rejected by him and sentenced by Jesus to an eternal and everlasting separation from him in hell. And that is for those of you who have rejected Christ as Savior of your sins and Master and Lord of your life. If you are within the sound of my voice today and you do not have faith in Jesus, asking him to forgive you of all your sins, I want to invite you to contact me today and ask for a little easy-to-read booklet I'd like to send to you in the mail. This will tell you clearly what it means to have faith alone in Christ alone and for you to be rescued from hell such that God will prepare a place for you in heaven. Your good works, as good as they may be, will not get you into heaven. God speaks to us clearly in the Bible. Nothing but belief in his Son Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins puts you in heaven in the afterlife. It is only through Jesus that God accepts us. So reach out to me today and ask for this short booklet on who Jesus is. Jesus is preeminent. He surpasses all others in being superior. And while he was born a baby boy to his earthly mother, Jesus' father is God. Mary did not conceive Jesus by any man, including Joseph. The Holy Spirit conceives Jesus, and he had to. Why? It is essential that Jesus be sinless. Sinless. But Jesus would not be sinless if his father and mother were human persons. As soon as two people have sexual intercourse and a baby is conceived, that baby is a sinner. And this is true because all people are sinners. All people. But Jesus is the only person ever born, ever, whose mother is human and whose father is God. Let's take my family as an example. My father is a sinner. My mother is a sinner. They get together and consummate their marriage, and when they do, I am conceived. And 9 months later, I am born, and I come screaming out of my mom's womb, a dirty, rotten sinner. And I am a sinner because my father and my mother are both sinners. So sin gives birth to sin, and that is also true of you and of every single person who has ever lived, with one single solitary exception, this man Jesus. Let's press this further. Why is it essential that Jesus be without sin, that Jesus be born perfect? Jesus must be born perfect because he is the one who saves people, rescues and delivers people from our sin. And he does so in his death on the cross on behalf of those who will believe in him. Jesus sacrificed his life for his believers' lives. He took our place. He was our substitute in death. The Bible teaches repeatedly that the only acceptable sacrifice for sin in God's eyes is a perfect, flawless, and sinless sacrifice. And let me trace this with you in the Bible. In the Old Testament, when God commanded the Israelites to sacrifice animals for the covering over of their sins, God always demanded that a spotless animal be killed. Just listen, if you would, to a few Old Testament texts where God speaks and hear what he requires in order for sin to be dealt with. Let's start at Exodus chapter 12 as God directs the Israelites concerning the Passover lamb. This is Exodus 12, verse 5. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. The lamb or the goat must be what? Unblemished. God demands the sacrifice be perfect. Or let's go over to the next book of the Bible, Leviticus, and we come to chapter 22. This is the Lord speaking again, and listen to what kind of sacrifice he requires from his people. For you to be accepted, it must be a male without defect from the cattle, the sheep, or the goats. Whatever has a defect, you shall not offer, for it will not be accepted for you. That was Leviticus chapter 22, verses 19 through 20. And God could not have been any clearer. Yahweh demands the sacrifice be perfect in order for it to be accepted by him. And God did, and God will always only accept a perfect, unblemished, flawless, and sinless sacrifice to take away our sins. Let me give you just one more text from the first section of our Bibles. This is God speaking in Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 1. Listen to this. You shall not sacrifice to the Lord your God an ox or a sheep which has a blemish or any defect, for that is a detestable thing to the Lord your God. That's Deuteronomy 17 verse 1, and God calls any sacrifice with a defect detestable. He detests it when a sacrifice is not perfect. God demands the sacrifice be perfect. Therefore, when we come over into the New Testament, Jesus must be perfect in order that God will accept his sacrifice for sin on the cross. And therefore, follow the logic here, Jesus must be born perfect. And in order for him to be born perfect, he cannot have a sinful human father. But since Jesus is conceived by the perfect, sinless Holy Spirit of God, then Jesus is perfect. He is sinless, and he is unblemished. And that brings us back to this. When Jesus dies for our sins, he does so in sinless perfection. Listen to what Peter says about this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 19. knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 19. And you ought to read that on your own again this weekend. Peter attests to the perfection of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus is the Lamb of God, unblemished and spotless, whose blood was poured out of his battered body on the death instrument of a rugged piece of wood. The perfect and holy God the Father accepted this sinless sacrifice through Christ. For we who believe in him are made now totally free of sin. Amazingly, our sins are forgiven in Christ. And all of this leads back to Luke 1 and the fact that Mary was a virgin. She has had no sex with any man. The Holy Spirit has conceived Jesus in her by God's miracle, and Jesus is born perfect. Oh, I hope and I pray that you see this. It's so important. Jesus Christ is the God-man. His divinity comes from God the Father through the Holy Spirit who conceived him, and his humanity comes by Jesus intentionally yielding his divine attributes to God his Father as he took on flesh. And because of Mary's virginity, allowing for the Holy Spirit to do his part, Jesus is sinless perfection. And what we have talked about yesterday and today came from just the word virgin, used twice in Luke chapter 1 and verse 27. Our text is Luke chapter 21, verses 26 through 56, and we will have that back in front of us on Monday. Before then, I encourage you to read it. That's Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 56. Read it once today, once tomorrow, and once or more on Sunday, and then join me again on Monday, for God is...